Here, on a small stage, someone was standing and he was talking to all those who were there. He spoke a lot about understanding, about being accommodating, about love, and so on. I listened for a while, but then said to those who were next to me, "Yes, look, he is now telling the others how they should have lived. Although he himself was very guilty and did not live properly, now he wants to tell others how to live." Then someone said, "Be quiet." And I replied, "No, I will not keep quiet. I have praised and glorified God my whole life, and I am here to share the blame with the others." Then they turned away from me, and I realized that they were talking about me and that I was superfluous. Then I went out of the house. There was a small group there, and they were talking eagerly about what the man had said in the hall and what advice he had given them. I thought, "Advice? Of course that is advice for people on earth, but not for us who are now in heaven." I told the others, I joined in the conversation and said to them, "What he is saying there is not right. In heaven you have to be taught differently, and all of you who are here are on the wrong path. If you all kneeled down and prayed to God, you would be better off and you would not have to work. You are all always in such a hurry, you always go to work, but I don't have to work. Why don't I have to work? I just don't deserve it any more than you do." They listened to me in amazement and looked at me like that. And one of them lifted my coat and said, "You don't look particularly distinguished either." Well, I didn't know why he said that, because I thought I looked the same as the others. Then I went on my way alone, down the same street, along the same path along the river. I wanted to meet people again, but no one came along who would have started a conversation with me. Then I did what the two I had seen had done. I put my hands behind my back and walked slowly up and down the path. Then I thought that I could go on that stage too and talk differently if the opportunity arose. I would tell the others what they had done wrong in life and how to get close to God. Because my opinion was that if you are in heaven, then no one has to teach you except Christ himself or God. Who in heaven knows more than Christ alone? During our earthly life we had prayed to him so much, we knew that he was close to us and lived with us, so he should now give us the instruction. And everyone who was around me now was simply on the wrong track. They simply had to ask for Christ to come. No one else had the right to teach us. That was my point of view and I rejected everything else. Then, I thought, I will reveal it to them. I will then go before them and tell them. Then I went back into the house, but the hall was empty. I went back to my room, I knelt down and prayed that God would give me the strength and the right words. I will now lead all those who are here in this village and show them the way to the heights. I prayed to Christ that he would enlighten me. How long did I pray? I didn't know until I heard the noise again and they came again from all houses and sides and crowded into this hall again. Of all people, I had to have my room next to this hall. When this hall was full again, I also went in and pushed my way to the stage. So I saw again the same person who had spoken the last time and who wanted to climb up and speak to those present. So I plucked up my courage and went onto the stage. But I didn't get a chance to speak before two strong arms grabbed me. And when I looked up, there were the two I had seen on the way and one of whom had said to me, "How long do you intend to sunbathe here?" Of course I wanted to defend myself and I asked them by what right they had grabbed me. "We are in the service of God," they said, "and you must obey us." And I answered them, "I am also in the service of God and I do not have to obey you." But their hands were so strong, they led me down from the stage and I was soon in my room. While it had been light before, it suddenly became dark, very dark. I tried to go out again, but found no door, only walls. I could no longer get out. Then I thought, now they have thrown me into prison. Who could they have been? Now I was praying, I prayed again that God would forgive them for what they had done to me. I had prayed for a long, long time. Again and again I heard how they left the hall or this large room, how there was silence for a long time and then how they came back again. I heard nothing of what was being said, I only heard the noise. The darkness had changed me somewhat. I had the feeling that I had now been thrown into hell, and so I had to think, who were those two? I hadn't seen anything special about them, they looked just like us. Maybe they were a little better dressed, but I didn't feel any differences. I thought about it and thought, perhaps I did something wrong, I should have listened to them. Maybe I was a little too cheeky. Was it really like that? I thought about it, but I couldn't really understand it yet. I had to be in this darkness for a long, long time. Then suddenly they came back, these two, and it became light round me like before. I saw the exit again and I wondered why I hadn't found it before. The two of them didn't say a word to me, they just showed me out the door, and I felt like I was being pulled down into the earthly realm. Now this has become my home again, I thought, and I tried to see if it would be possible for me to return to the world beyond. I tried it once out of curiosity, tried to make an effort, but it didn't work. I felt such a heaviness about me, I was attracted to the earth. I had trouble moving on this earth in general, I found my feet so heavy and I could only walk slowly. So naturally my path led to people. They walked past me, through me, and I was amazed at how it happened. I myself could walk through the walls, despite my weight, I could overcome this earthly matter. I walked through stones and was amazed at first. I saw many things in people. I saw, of course, that I was not alone, that there were so many spiritual beings there. I even saw a tearing and a fighting for people. I saw how spirits shook and rattled people, how they stroked them tenderly with their hands or how they embraced them as they walked along the path. I tried to do the same, I tried, but I could see when a person came that someone was already clinging to them. My gait was so slow and laborious, and I couldn't walk so quickly to that person. When someone walked through me, I tried to cling to them. But I didn't even succeed in that. So because of my slow gait, I could only make my observations. I saw people coming who were happy, in a good mood, and then I also saw spirits clinging to them, who were also laughing and happy. And I saw that although they were spirit beings like me, they didn't come into contact with the ground at all. They had hands like me, they had feet like me, they wore clothes like me, only the clothes were perhaps a little more airy, a little nicer than mine, I could admit that, but I was surprised from the very beginning, why don't they have to walk like me? For example, I saw how one of them simply hung himself around a person's shoulders, and his feet went sideways so that he was simply floating there. I just made my observations. I thought, well, what are they doing there with the people? I can try it too. If they have already excluded me from the kingdom of heaven, I will just try my luck with people again. But I had to see all sorts of things. I saw fights. I saw beautiful, noble spirits floating next to a person and holding him by the arm, while another spirit, who looked just like me and who also had a dragging gait, hung around his neck. I had the feeling that this figure was even worse than me, but he could run. He didn't have to walk as laboriously as I did. It seemed to me as if these different spirits were talking to people, and they didn't see them. So I looked at people when I saw them face to face and recognized what kind of thoughts, what dubious thoughts, they had. If a beautiful spirit that floated next to a person and pulled on his arm was able to gain some power over him, his thoughts would brighten up again. But the other one, with his dragging gait, also clung to him. And so I could suddenly see the person's thoughts, his deliberations. I also saw how those who were floating there often shook and rattled the person, thereby leaving the other spirit behind and then accompanying the person for part of the way. So I could observe it, and I also saw how the same people passed me again, still accompanied by the same people. But I saw not only the battle between these different spirits, which cannot be seen by people, I also saw terrible things. I also saw 5 to 10 or even more of these evil figures, literally pursuing a person. They went into the house with him, they pulled his clothes, they tugged at his hair, they held his hands, and they shook hands with each other, it was like a ring dance. I saw them and tried to drag myself into a house to see what they were doing. Gradually I had the feeling that my gait was getting lighter, I could suddenly walk better. So I thought I had adapted to these conditions again. When I entered a house where a whole gang was gathered around one person, I immediately heard the conversation that the people were having. There was a fight, they were arguing about money and all sorts of things, as people do. They were arguing terribly and all these evil characters were laughing. They were laughing and happy, they clapped their hands, they made a circle around the person and jumped up from the ground for joy until they had achieved what they wanted. Then a large number of them left again, and only one or two stayed with the person, as constant companions. Then I thought, ah, those are the devils. And I also looked at these people, they were not praying, they were just arguing with each other. So I had the opportunity to look at people for a long time. I also had the opportunity to see pious people, and I also saw how these beautiful, floating figures surrounded the person. But I also observed how the others tried to get in his way despite this noble company. Yes, these devils tried to block the people's way. To make it quite clear to you, when a person walks a path, be it on the street, in church, in the shop or wherever, these dark figures walk a few meters ahead of him, then they suddenly stand in front of him, face to face, and spread their arms to receive him, to greet him and then quickly whisper a few envious thoughts or something else devilish into his head. I could see that they sometimes succeeded, even when a person had a noble companion. But I also saw how these nobles often separated themselves from the person, how they left him and then went to a devil and chased him away, and not gently. These nobles have, you would hardly believe it, because they are so delicate and often look so cute, an enormous power. They hardly need to touch the others and they are flung away somewhere. Yes, then these nobles go back to the person and he breathes a sigh of relief, he does not know why. But it is his noble companion who makes him breathe a sigh of relief, as a sign that a temptation has passed him by. So I had the opportunity to see and experience many things for a long, long time. But I had the desire to return to the world beyond. And my curiosity was great. Is heaven still closed to me? Can't I go back? I couldn't go up, and I wandered to humans. In terms of concepts, day and night, for us spirits, there was no night like for people, there was always, always entertainment on this earth. Even when it had become quiet and people were asleep, you could still visit them in their homes. There was always entertainment. And otherwise you could have entertainment with your own kind, you could find some. But I was careful not to make contact with those others, because I realized, they are the devils from hell who tempt people. I wanted to make the acquaintance of these nobles. I spoke to some of them, but they just looked at me in surprise and didn't say a word, as if they wanted to say, I don't want to know you. So I just had to go my own way. But my walk became easier. It wasn't so difficult for me anymore. Now I wanted to have a person all too, for myself. This was difficult, because as a rule they are always accompanied by three, four or even more spirit beings, some beautiful and some not so beautiful. But I tried, and I managed to catch one. I immediately clung to him tightly, but I didn't know what to do with him. I wanted to secure him, because I saw others coming, as I explained, who were standing a few meters in front of him with their arms outstretched. I had kept my eyes open and knew how the nobles did it, and I believed that I had the right to do the same. I let go of the man, then stood next to the dark spirit and tried to throw him away too. But now, my strength was not enough. The other one was stronger, he threw me away. Yes, I had to think about it too. I had no evil intentions with this man. Why can this spirit throw me away? Why does he have the power to throw me away? I only meant well. But I had no experience, I had not thought about how I could influence people, how I could win them over, I just wanted to show them the way to God. But then, after a long wait, I managed to attach myself to a person again. I took him by the arm and said to him, I will stay with you all day today and I will look after you and protect you. No harm shall come to you and I will do everything for you. You shall earn your bread, You shall be happy today and live in peace. I will give you all my strength. So I talked to him, he gave me no answer, he did not hear me. But the others did the same, so I tried to do the same. So I was lucky enough to guide this person all day. Of course, this was not an unbeliever, he prayed, and that was my wish. I prayed with him very deeply. And when he then began to pray, it suddenly became light, and two noblemen came up to this man and greeted him, stroking his cheeks, his hair and his hands. These two spoke to each other and gave each other explanations. Then I said, "Please allow me to stay here." They asked me, "What are you doing here?" And I answered them, "They have cast me out." "From where have they cast you out?" they asked me kindly. "Yes, I was in heaven." "And they have cast you out?" "That is impossible." "Yes," I said, "they have cast me out." Then they wanted to know more and said, "Yes, then you have made a mistake. No one is cast out of heaven for nothing." "Missed, perhaps, but I only wanted to do good and I wanted to tell the others that they were on the wrong path." Then one of them said, "Yes, you know, dear brother, if you believe that the others are on the wrong path, then you were definitely on the wrong path. You know, in the kingdom of heaven you cannot give orders and start to rule. You have certainly done that." "Yes, I believed that I had the right to stand up for the kingdom of God, and I expected that Christ would receive us and give us instruction. There were only people like me there who were teaching, and I believed that I had the right to do so myself, because as a human being I had done it too." "Yes, you are on the wrong path," they said to me. "You know, in the kingdom of heaven you just have to be full of humility and modesty, and you have to be repentant, because you have done many things in your life that were not right." I was astonished. I was a good person. I always fought for God. "Yes, you believed that. But you exerted so much power over people. And you demanded virtues from others, and you yourself lived in the greatest vices. You demanded that other people do good works, and you yourself did nothing." "Really, did I do nothing?" "Yes, that is impossible." "Yes," I was disappointed, surprised at these open words of the two. But these two were so trustworthy, so loving and kind, that I had to believe them. Then I asked them, "Yes, who are you then?" And they said, "We are the two guardian spirits of this person, and now we are taking over the place. You have accompanied this person all day, we have seen that, but now we are taking over the place. We have to talk to him and we have to lead him." "Yes, the person wants to sleep, where do you want to lead him then?" "Oh, good soul," they said to me, "you know, you will be taught about such things in the kingdom of heaven, if you become willing and good. We cannot teach you about that." Then I said to them, "Yes, what must I do?" "I am excluded, I cannot go back." Then they answered me, "Ask God with humility that he will take you back into heaven. Tell him that you want to be obedient. You will definitely be able to go there again, and you can go back again." And so I prayed that God would forgive me if I had done wrong. I had firmly believed that everything I had done and said was right. I had prayed for a long time, and it had not yet become possible for me to go back. So I had to go on my journey again, and I thought, "Perhaps God will have mercy on me." I prayed more than before and always said, "I want to be humble, I want to obey now, and I ask that the way be made possible for me again, because everything that I have seen here among people has given me something to think about, and I no longer like it. I have long noticed this struggle between good and evil, and I do not like it. I want to go back and have a different life in the heavenly world." But I still had no chance of returning. I still had to accept this punishment and had to stay there precisely because I no longer liked wandering the earth. Well, I still knew the way to this man and I went there again. I found him in the evening when he was praying again, and again I saw the two guardian spirits coming. Then I said to them and cried, "They still don't accept me. What must I do? I don't want to be here anymore. You are so kind and so loving. Can't one of you come with me and lead me back?" Then they looked at each other and one said to the other, "Shall I?" "Then go," said one, And the other took me by the hand, and I felt so light, and I disappeared from this earth. In a flash I was back in the same village in front of that house and stood in front of the entrance. I was ashamed. Like the first time I was here, someone came and said, "You are probably a newcomer, you probably want to go into the house, I will quickly show you the place." And I answered, "Yes, I have a companion with me, because I was afraid to go into this room alone." And my companion said, "Yes, just leave it, I will lead you in, come." When I entered the house, I had to see that everyone was gathered again and that someone was speaking at the front again. I didn't dare to look up anymore, and I clung to my companion and begged him, "Please, don't leave me alone, stay with me and be my advocate. You know that I am repentant and that I am sorry for everything I have done and said." And he said, "Just stay calm." Then I raised my eyes, and who did I see again? It was the two again who had taken me by the hand and led me into the room and who had come back and just pointed with their fingers and led me out the door. I won't say anything more. Then I knelt down before them and asked them for forgiveness. I didn't know who they were, and I thought they would at least wear a crown and that they would be adorned with gold and precious stones. I had just been wrong, I had just expected that Christ himself would speak here. Then they said, "Yes, it is time for you, get up." My companion said goodbye to me and the two, and they then said, "Now you go back into the room and stay in this room for a while. You won't come out until we call you." Yes, I was glad to be in the room and I thought about the experiences I had had among people. I hadn't imagined anything like that. Now I have had my own experiences in this regard, and I now feel sorry for people and the constant struggle they have. They don't even know what is constantly hanging on to them and how these dark figures stand there with open arms, how they throw dirt at them and so on. I didn't know why people have to experience this. I thought to myself, God could arrange it differently and let them be accompanied by these noble, floating figures. Why shouldn't that be? But they said that I should be taught about it. Well, I did nothing other than ask God to forgive me for the wrongs I had done. I wanted to be submissive in everything now, and I didn't want to act so bossy and important anymore. I wanted to be completely humble. For a long time I thought about all this, said it to myself and prayed. Then they stood there again, the two of them, and said, "Now come. Go among the crowd and listen to what is being said here, and don't think that these teachings about understanding, accommodation and love are so obvious or so new. When you came here, you didn't get along with the others either. You told them they were hypocritical and that they didn't deserve heaven. Now you must first of all try to get along with the others, to learn to understand them. Everyone who is here has earned what they find here." Yes, I looked at the two of them and suddenly I found that they looked completely different from the impression I had had at the beginning, that they had something noble about them. I saw that their eyes were actually so kind. I had missed this at first glance. "Yes," they said, "we are two spirits of God. We guide the souls here and we guide them in their purification and lead them to where they belong, just like you. We can also banish souls. That's what happened to you because you didn't fit in with the community and because you believed you knew more and were better than the others. So you had to go this way." Yes, I had realized it. I thought about my life. As a human being, I had prayed a lot, but I had not prayed properly. I demanded that my fellow human beings do good, and I forgot to do it myself. I demanded more from others and did nothing myself. I had to come to this realization, and that was a struggle for me. Now I had to listen to the teachings here, and I had to get along with the others. It was clear, I did not like everyone who was in front of and next to me. They all had their peculiarities and peculiarities, just as I had. Now I should no longer be like I was at the beginning, when I had called them hypocrites and sanctimonious people. I should now have understanding with them and explain to them that in the kingdom of heaven one must be diligent and obey precisely the words that are given. Being obedient is probably the first commandment here. So I began to cheer these others up a little and give them comfort. Then, After a while, after I had received so many different teachings, I was told, "Now you can leave this house. Come, we are going somewhere else." A large group came with me. It was no trouble for us to find this other place, it was very close by. But we had the feeling that everything here was brighter and more colorful. Now we had to endure such teachings again, but here we heard more things. We were told about the separation that takes place in people during sleep, and we were taught about the influence of the various spirits on people and about the battle that people have to fight. So I had much, much to learn, and I was eager and willing to take it on. So I experienced a long period of purification and instruction, until I was assigned to a job that I enjoyed, where I could apply the things that had been explained to us. But it was a long time before I was able to understand everything. I had a lot to learn and I was happy. And my only wish is to stay here as long as possible in order to be able to absorb a lot of instruction, because I know the path that I must take again. I don't know where I'm going and who I'll be as, I only know that I'm going into a new life on Earth. From the instruction, I know that in a new life on Earth, the virtues and vices that one had carried within oneself in a previous life, can so easily become apparent again. Through these teachings I also know that one receives help from the divine world, that the divine world can prevent many things or promote many things, depending on the willingness of the spirit. Depending on whether it has followed its path of purification obediently and willingly. So I too will not be spared this path into earthly life. I only hope to achieve and gain more than in my previous life. So I now told you about my experience. Questions, dear friends, will definitely be answered by my brother. It is no longer my task. May this be surrounded by only good spirits. Give them the opportunity, offer them a home. Your soul should be a home of good spirits. They bring you good thoughts, strength, courage and comfort. If you do this through your will to do good, then they will come and do what I was able to explain to you. They embrace you. They accompany you on your path. And if you are steadfast, then they will push away the others who would like to stretch out their arms towards you and bring you to ruin. So I must say goodbye to you. May God bless your path. Greetings. End of the recording. Edition from the first publication in the magazine Geistige Welt. Dear Joseph, it seems to me that this spirit Albert had a spiritual or religious arrogance that is apparently very difficult to get rid of in the spiritual world. Joseph, yes, that's right. In general, when people have such rigid attitudes in any relationship, it is always a disadvantage for them. You should be receptive, you should be understanding. I would almost say, in this case it was stubborn obstinacy, self-will, and that is a vice. You must always try to understand the other person and listen to him. Isn't this stubbornness surprising? Albert believed in God and prayed a lot. We always hear that the way would then be smoothed. Joseph, yes, you know that. But prayer without action is not enough. You cannot be satisfied with prayer alone and simply demand actions from others. You have heard that you cannot simply demand a virtuous life from others while you yourself fail to live it. It all depends on the real inner attitude of the person. There are two ways to pray. Very superficially, by repeating words without knowing what you are saying. It is then like a mill that is turning. But you can pray out of deep desire and longing. Such a prayer counts. The people who pray with this longing then also have the right heart to do the right thing. How can it be explained that this spirit Albert, when he was returned to earth, was so heavy and clumsy? Joseph, he felt the impurity clinging to him was such a great burden that he could no longer leave the path. He wanted to return to the world beyond, but this had to be prevented. Because according to the law, every soul follows its own path of purification. There does not necessarily always have to be someone standing next to it and looking after it. There are enough spirits who generally have this overview, but the law is so wonderful that everyone has to do exactly what they deserve. Everything is arranged in such a way that he cannot escape. Why is it that some of the spirits that Albert reported about walked heavily, while others floated? Joseph, Those who floated next to a person did not need to touch the earthly ground, because their id is not mainly mixed with this earthly id. They have more of the pure, spiritual id in them and do not need to touch the earth with their feet. Of course they could do that if they wanted to, but they can also float in a very comfortable way.